Now, turning to the Brexit negotiations, the EU's chief negotiator, Michel Barnier, has told member states of the EU that he's made an offer to the UK that would involve the union handing back between 15 and 18% of the value of fish stocks currently caught by EU fleets in British waters. Fisheries, you will recall, is one of the sticking points in this, the final stage of the Brexit negotiations. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, has the story and we can find out from him more. Tony, what do we know about this proposal to break the deadlock over fisheries?
Well, Brian, this appears to me to be the first time that Michel Barnier has put a figure or a number on this idea of giving the UK back an element, a percentage of its fishery stocks, which of course goes to the very heart of the UK's demands in these negotiations. Even though it, you know, from people I've spoken to in recent weeks, it's always been his approach that you look at the overall value of the fish that European fleets catch in British waters, and that is around €650 million annually, and then you take a slice of that and say to the UK, well, look, if you have this amount back, is that going to satisfy you in these negotiations? And of course, a fisheries deal is something that has to happen before the overall free trade agreement can go ahead. So this seems to be his opening offer, and understandably it's been rejected already by the UK official, and a UK official is being derisory.
Right, but presumably that could be negotiated further, and we shall see over the next number of days. What about the other outstanding issue, this question of the level playing field that we've been hearing about?
Well, yeah, I mean, the level playing field is one of the three issues. The idea that both sides should commit to largely following the same standards when it comes to producing goods, those standards being labour protection, social security, taxation, environment, and so on. Again, the UK is resisting anything that would give the impression that it is somehow bound by EU rules into the future. But the EU saying, well, you know, we can't give you a no strings attached access to the single market. You're too big and economically powerful, and so on.
OK, so still wrangling over these issues, but time is short. What effectively is the deadline? Of course, the transition period runs out at the end of December. January 1st, the UK is fully out of the EU. What is the actual deadline for these negotiations?
Well, there isn't a hard deadline in stone, but if you work back from the end of December, which is really the end of the transition, the European Parliament needs to ratify any treaty. They've indicated that they could do that maybe between Christmas and the New Year, if at a stretch. In between times, you need to get any treaty or deal legally scrubbed, as they say, to make sure there are no legal wrinkles in there. And it's only can you translate the treaty into 23 different languages. And at that point, then member states will want to take a much closer look at it. So really, next week is the last time they physically have time to do all those things.
All right. Just days away, perhaps, from whether we will know if or there is to be a deal or if not. Tony Connolly in Brussels, thank you for that. Well, let's talk now to Minister of State for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne. Thomas Byrne, both sides say that there's still time. It might be short, but there's still time. Both say they want a deal, but not at any price. The EU has moved today on fisheries, we hear. Do you think that this offer could break the impasse on that particular issue?
Well, look, Brian, thanks very much for having me on. I mean, clearly the talks are now at an extremely intense phase, and I think it's positive from everyone's perspective that people are still talking and that Michel Barnier and his team are gone to London to continue those talks. David Frost, who's the chief British negotiator, has indicated that he's going to the talks positively as well. I think that's good, but it's not going to help the talks if I give a running commentary on the issues. I mean, the issues have been set out by Tony, they've been set out by Ursula von der Leyen and everybody, that those issues remain. They're difficult issues on the level playing field, on governance, and indeed especially on fisheries. And there's a lot of other things that will be in this agreement, but really we need to have agreement on everything before any agreement is signed.
But as we heard from Tony, I was just going to say, time is very short, and people may listen to Tony and others and really feel at this point a deal is just slipping away. Would the government share that concern?
Well, the government some months ago has started preparations for the possibility of a no deal, or indeed for what we would hope at least would be a fairly minimal trade deal, which I think is the best we can get out of this. But we have been preparing on the basis of no deal, so our preparations are there. And what I think everybody needs to do at this point that's involved in trade with Great Britain in particular, or using the land bridge, they've got to start, you know, looking at their arrangements, seeing what they need to do and making sure that they are indeed Brexit ready, because there are things outside of our control. The negotiating team are doing the negotiations on behalf of everybody, and they have their full confidence, have our full confidence, but there are things within our control, which is to make sure that we're ready in case of all eventualities. And that's what the government has been doing over the last few months, and that's what we're continuing to do.
What's the readiness for the consequences of a no-deal Brexit for going to World Trade Organization rules, particularly for our agri exports, so important from this country into the UK?
Well, clearly the consequences of a no deal would be very damaging economically, but I also believe that they would be very damaging for the British economy too. So, you know, when pretty much every government wants to do something, it tends to have the best interests of its citizens at heart. And I would hope that when the British government is entering these talks, and the fact that they are continuing these talks in a positive way in London, and when we see the economic forecast that accompanied the Chancellor's statement this week, Brexit mm-hmm. will have a very damaging effect. A no deal Brexit will have a very damaging effect on Britain. I'm confident that, you know, the negotiations will conclude, and I certainly hope that the negotiations will conclude successfully to have a deal. But we have to be prepared. As I said, there are lots of things outside of our control. We're examining how these things are going, and we have been making preparations for any and all eventualities.
Minister, just a word about the COVID restrictions. As we know, the Cabinet meets now in the next little while to consider a relaxation from level 5. That's been welcomed, moves in that direction. We've already heard by business on this programme. But there is concern at the prospect of a return to lockdown in the new year. What do you say to those businesses who are wondering, if they open up, will they be faced with a further closure come January?
I think on that, Brian, I think the Cabinet is meeting this afternoon on that. I think it's best left to them. There was a Cabinet subcommittee yesterday, of which I'm not a member. I'm focusing on Brexit, has been talking to the medics, getting the best advice, and I don't think it helps anyone's situation if I come and speculate on that. What we do know is that the government wants to, insofar as it can, have businesses open as safely as possible. But the biggest threat to business at the moment is, in fact, the pandemic. And we do need to get that under control. We're now one of the best countries in Europe in terms of how we've brought our numbers down. And that's because of actions that the government has taken and the compliance that the public have sought as well. And the public have done tremendous work. And it's been really, really hard. And I think everybody is browned off with it. So the decision that will be taken today, I've no doubt, will have all of those factors in mind, that the public do want respite and business do need respite at this particular point. But we've got to make sure that we can keep things going safely until the vaccine is rolled out properly, and work is ongoing in relation to that as well.
You must know from your own constituency and from elsewhere in the country that a lot of people in business are wondering what they're going to face. And where's the plan to live with COVID, I suppose, is the question they ask.
Well, what we have done is we've brought various levels in with COVID. We've implemented them, and the public have adopted them very successfully, and that the numbers have come down. And I can tell you, we want to get business open. But the key thing will be the rollout of a vaccine, and huge progress has been made in relation to that. We've seen quite a number of successes, and we hope that some of them will get approval. And already a task force has been set up in order to get a vaccine rolled out. That is the key thing.
Very good.
But if we can comply with the rules, as we've seen over the last number of months, numbers can come down. I think people know in many cases what doesn't work and what has caused problems over the last few weeks and months. Mm-hmm. And I think the general public in general will be keen to avoid those situations. So I think it's a combination of government guidance and leadership, but also the public doing what is the common sense thing. And I think that people are beginning to realise and know what works and what doesn't work in relation to COVID.
Minister of State for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne, thank you very much for talking to us on the programme. Next, we'll be hearing after this short break.
We're on hand to help get you set up if you're new to online banking.